ready to dive into the world of bottlenecks. We're tackling those limitations head on today.
That's right.
We're exploring some seriously cool strategies from a blog post by Gerhard Friedrich.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting about this post is he actually used AI for all the visuals.
Oh, wow.
But he wrote every single word himself. So it's this kind of like blend of, you know, that old school wisdom
right.
with cutting edge technology.
I like it. I like that combination a lot. So give me the overview. What are the two approaches we're looking at today?
Okay, so we've got Engpass Orientierung.
Okay.
Which translates to bottleneck orientation.
Yeah.
And that's based on Liebig's law of the minimum, which is this idea that a system's output is limited by its scarcest resource.
Hmm. Yeah, we've all been there, right?
Yeah.
Like where one thing holds up the entire project. It's like trying to, you know,
exactly.
build a house without enough lumber.
That's the perfect analogy.
You can have all the other materials ready, but until that lumber gets there, you are stuck.
Totally. And then the second approach is Engpass Konzentriert strategy.
Wow.
Or bottleneck focused strategy. And that kind of builds on that idea, but takes a broader perspective.
So it's not just about identifying the bottleneck, but then also like figuring out how to use that to your advantage.
Exactly. It's viewing businesses and projects as these dynamic systems.
Okay.
And it argues that the bottlenecks are these points of leverage.
Interesting.
Where you can have the most influence.
Okay. This is sounding a lot less like a problem and a lot more like an opportunity.
Like it.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to the beginning for a second and talk about Liebig's law of the minimum.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean for our listeners who maybe aren't scientists?
So imagine you're a farmer and you're trying to grow the biggest, juiciest tomatoes you've ever seen in your life.
Okay. I'm already hungry.
Right. You've got perfect soil. You've got tons of sunshine. You're watering them diligently every day.
Perfect growing conditions.
But they're just not thriving.
What's going on?
You forgot one crucial thing, and that's phosphorus. The soil is deficient in this one nutrient, and no matter how much water you give them, no matter how much sunshine they get, those tomatoes are not going to reach their full potential until you give them that phosphorus.
That's such a good analogy. It's so easy to get, you know, hyper-focused on the things that we think are important and overlook that one crucial element that's holding us back.
Exactly.
That's really good.
And what's so fascinating is that applies to way more than just farming. It applies to any system where resources are limited. So that's your business. That's your project. That's your personal to-do list even.
So if our listeners are, you know, constantly feeling overwhelmed or scattered, it might be because they're not focusing on the right bottleneck.
Totally. We're trying to do everything all at once instead of identifying that one thing that's holding us back and addressing it strategically.
Right. Okay. I like it. So then where does the theory of constraints or TOC fit into all of this?
So TOC is basically like the practical application of Liebig's law in a project management context.
Okay.
It takes this concept of a limiting factor and uses it to optimize processes and resource allocation.
So like the critical path in project management, but a little bit more nuanced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we've all heard of the critical path.
Yeah.
But TOC takes it a step further with what's called the critical chain.
Okay.
And it's not just about the sequence of tasks. It's also about the availability of those resources.
That makes sense.
And how that impacts the project timeline.
So the critical chain basically recognizes that, like, okay, you can have the perfect plan.
Yes.
But if you don't have the people or the materials at the right time, it's all going to get thrown off anyway.
Exactly.
Okay, so how does TOC help manage that?
So TOC introduces a five-step cycle that basically maximizes the throughput of the bottleneck.
Hold on, throughput. What's throughput?
Right, so throughput is essentially the rate at which a system produces its desired output.
Gotcha.
So in a project, that could be the number of features delivered or milestones completed or products shipped.
Makes sense. Okay, so TSC is trying to maximize that output by focusing on the bottleneck.
Yes.
What are those five steps?
Okay, so first you identify the bottleneck, then you exploit it, meaning you make the most of its capacity.
Okay.
Then you subordinate all other processes to support the bottleneck.
Mm.
If possible, you elevate its capacity.
Gotcha.
And then finally, you repeat the cycle. Because remember, bottlenecks can shift.
Right, and change over time.
Exactly.
Like that old saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
Love it.
So you find the weak link, you strengthen it.
Yes.
And then you make sure everything else is supporting it.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. So TOC brings a lot of order and clarity to resource allocation.
Right.
But in the real world, things are not always so simple. There are complexities.
Of course.
And limitations to consider.
Yeah. It's one thing to see it on paper, but it's another thing to actually deal with, the messiness of a project.
Absolutely.
Where things are, delayed, people are, maybe taking vacations or whatever.
Exactly. And, let's not forget about the importance of data. So TOC relies on having accurate information about things like how long tasks take, resource availability dependencies.
Yeah.
If your data is flawed, your analysis is going to be flawed.
Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
And even with perfect data, TOC is only as good as the people who are actually implementing it.
For sure.
So you need, buy-in from the team. You need strong leadership. You need a solid process.
Absolutely. It's not just about plugging numbers into a formula. It's about understanding the dynamics of the system.
Right. It's about the human element.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got our foundation with Liebig's Law, and then we have a practical framework with TOC.
Yes.
Now I want to hear more about EKS, that broader perspective.
Okay.
What makes it different from TOC?
So while TOC focuses on optimizing processes within a system,
right,
EKS encourages us to consider the system itself and its internal and external forces.
So it's almost like TOC is more micro and EKS is more macro.
Exactly.
It's the bigger picture.
And EKS is all about identifying the right audience, the right solution, and their most pressing problem.
So can you give me like a real world example of what that would look like?
So let's say you're developing a new software product.
Okay.
TOC might help you optimize the development process so that you can deliver features on time.
Gotcha.
But EKS would challenge you to think about who your target user is, what their biggest pain point is,
right,
and how your product can solve that problem better than any other solution that's out there.
So TSC is like internal efficiency and EKS is like understanding the market forces.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And EKS views businesses and projects as these dynamic systems driven by tensions and desires.
Mm.
And those become amplified at the bottleneck. Remember, bottlenecks aren't just these points of constraint.
Right.
They're also points of leverage.
So instead of trying to eliminate the bottleneck, you're trying to kind of like harness its power.
Yeah. Work smarter, not harder.
I like that a lot. Okay. So how does EKS then apply to like specifically project management?
So it encourages us to identify both the external and the internal bottlenecks in a project.
Okay, wait. So there are two types of bottlenecks in a project.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay.
So the external bottleneck is all about achieving that core objective of the project, delivering that value to the stakeholder.
Okay.
That's the why. Yeah. Behind the project, the internal bottleneck is the things within the project that are hindering progress toward that external goal.
Got it.
That's what's stopping us.
And there were some really good examples of this in the blog post, right?
Absolutely. So there was one example where the real external bottleneck was this immovable deadline.
Okay.
And it didn't matter what else was going on. Hitting that date was absolutely paramount.
Gotcha.
And in another example, the author talked about this Euro conversion project, where the deadline was truly mission critical.
Wow.
If they missed it, it would have been disastrous for the company.
So in both those examples, it was like that external pressure that was really driving everything else.
Totally. And it kind of highlights how EKS connects to modern project success criteria.
Okay.
It's not just about hitting the budget and schedule anymore.
Right.
It's about delivering value and making sure your stakeholders are happy.
This is all making sense now.
Good.
So EKS helps define what success actually looks like for a project.
Yes.
And then TOC gives you the tools to actually get it done.
Exactly. And what's important is that both of those approaches emphasize data analysis and continuous adaptation.
So it's not about guessing. It's about making, informed decisions about where to focus your energy.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is all clicking now.
Good. Yeah. Like it. So EKS is giving us that strategic lens.
Right.
TOC is giving us that tactical toolkit.
Exactly. I'm excited for part two.
Me too. This is fun.
This is good stuff.
I know, right?
All right. So we covered a lot of ground here. What can our listeners expect in part two?
Okay. So in the next part, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into the nuances of those external and internal bottlenecks.
Okay.
And how to effectively identify them in those real world scenarios.
Sounds good. We will be right back after a short break. All right, we are back, and I am still thinking about EKS, impasse concentrata strategy.
It's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's such a cool concept. I keep coming back to it.
It is really fascinating how, just kind of shifting your perspective on those limitations can really change your approach to things.
Right, instead of viewing it as a roadblock, it's like, oh, this is an opportunity.
Exactly.
So last time we were talking about external and internal bottlenecks. Can you just remind us again what the distinction is?
Yeah, so the external bottleneck is really all about understanding that true value proposition of your project. So like what really matters to your stakeholder.
Okay.
It's about aligning your efforts with their biggest pain points and desired outcomes.
And the blog post had a really good example of this that wasn't quite as simple as, you know, just delivering what was in the project scope.
Yeah, so in this example, the author was working on a project and everyone was really hyper-focused on hitting those budget and schedule milestones.
Right, like checking the boxes.
Exactly. But when he actually sat down with the stakeholder, he realized that their biggest concern wasn't actually about hitting those internal targets. It was about avoiding any further delays to the announced completion date.
Oh, so it was more about perception than it was about reality.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So the external bottleneck wasn't the budget or the schedule. It was the stakeholders' anxiety about public perception and potential delays.
So that's a classic example of EKS. You're not just solving the problem, you're solving the right problem.
I love it.
Yeah, and that's tough sometimes to figure that out.
Absolutely. But once you have that clear understanding of that external bottleneck, then you can start to analyze, okay, what are those internal factors that might be hindering your progress towards that?
And that's where TOC comes in.
Exactly.
Helping us identify, okay, what are those, you know, process bottlenecks or the resource constraints or anything that's slowing us down internally?
Exactly. So it's kind of like EKS is giving us that strategic direction. It's defining what success actually looks like.
Right.
And TOC is giving us the tools to actually go out and achieve it.
And both of them rely on data, right?
Yeah, the blog post emphasized this a lot. It's not about making decisions based on gut feelings or assumptions.
It's about having the data to back up your decisions.
But things change, don't they?
Of course they do.
We can't always rely on, you know, what we knew yesterday.
Right. Bottlenecks aren't static.
Right.
They can shift and evolve as the project progresses.
So we need to be able to adapt.
So both EKS and TOC, they emphasize continuous adaptation and improvement. You need to be monitoring that situation.
Always be watching.
Identifying new bottlenecks as they emerge and adjusting your approach accordingly.
Which requires a lot of flexibility.
It does. It also kind of highlights the importance of communication and collaboration within the project team.
For sure.
So everybody needs to be on the same page, understanding the current priorities.
Right.
And working together to overcome those obstacles. Because otherwise, you're just going to create new bottlenecks through miscommunication or, you know, people working in silos.
It's like a dance you're constantly adjusting.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
And, you know, this kind of dynamic nature of bottlenecks, it applies to more than just projects. Right. To life in general.
Exactly. So what might be holding you back today might not be the same thing that's holding you back tomorrow.
So be aware, be adaptable, be proactive.
You got it. And the blog post highlighted this really beautifully with this concept called the Schiefschlagtordnum.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So what is that?
So it translates to oblique battle order. And it's actually a military tactic that Wolfgang Muse, who developed EKS, uses to kind of illustrate the importance of having multiple options and not putting all your eggs in one basket.
So don't just focus on one solution or approach.
Exactly.
You know, keep your options open and be ready to pivot.
Because remember, those bottlenecks can shift and change.
Right.
What seemed like the best course of action yesterday might not be the best course of action today.
So you're hedging your bets, but with a purpose.
Exactly. And it ties back to the importance of data and analysis.
Okay.
You're using that information to make informed decisions about where to focus your efforts.
Right.
But you're also acknowledging that things can change and you need to be ready to adjust.
So stay agile, stay flexible.
Oh, I like it a lot.
And you know, I think this concept also highlights the importance of being proactive.
Okay.
You're not just reacting to problems as they arise. You're kind of anticipating those potential challenges.
Right.
And developing contingency plans.
Okay, so you're playing chess. You're thinking several moves ahead.
Exactly. And that's a key element of both EKS and TOC. It's about being strategic, being tactical, and always kind of staying one step ahead.
We've talked a lot about theory, though.
Yeah.
What about actually putting this into practice?
Okay.
What can our listeners do to, you know, identify and address these bottlenecks in their projects, in their lives?
That's a great question, and it's one that we'll explore in more detail in the final part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned for part three. We'll be right back with actionable insights and practical tips to help you break through your own bottlenecks and achieve greater success. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive on bottleneck management. That's right in time to put all this theory into practice.
I know we've covered a lot, but I feel like my brain has expanded like tenfold.
And that's what we like to hear.
So where do we even begin if our listeners are ready to, like, you know, roll up their sleeves and get to work?
Okay, well, the first step is to identify that bottleneck.
Okay, but how do you actually like do that? It feels kind of abstract.
So remember, we've been talking about two types of bottlenecks.
Right, external and internal.
Exactly. So for that external bottleneck,
Yeah.
you really need to have those honest conversations with the stakeholders.
Right, get in their heads a little bit.
What are their biggest pain points? What are those outcomes that they're really hoping for? It's about understanding the why behind the project, not just the what.
So the human element is key.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then for those internal bottlenecks, those often require a little bit of introspection and analysis.
Okay, so you're looking inward now.
What are those processes or resources that are really limiting your progress? Is there a particular task that always seems to get stuck? Is there a team member who's constantly overloaded? Is there a lack of
Those
communication?
are all really good points.
Yeah, and data can really be your best friend here.
Okay.
So track your time, analyze your workflow, look for those patterns.
Okay, so you're looking for like those recurring pain points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where are things slowing down? Where are those recurring issues?
Okay, so let's say you've done all that, you've identified the bottleneck. What's next?
Then it's time for TOC. Remember that five-step cycle.
Identify, exploit, subordinate, elevate, repeat.
You got it.
Those are good words, but sometimes they feel a little bit jargony.
Yeah, let's break them down.
Okay.
So identify, we already talked about, exploit means making the most of that bottleneck's capacity.
Okay.
So let's say your bottleneck is a specific team member's availability. You want to make sure that they're only working on the most critical tasks.
Protect their time.
Exactly. Subordinate means everything else in the system needs to support that bottleneck.
It's a streamlined thing.
So if that team member needs input from somebody else, you want to make sure that it's available to them right away.
Gotcha.
They shouldn't be stuck waiting for approvals or information.
Okay, makes sense.
Now, elevate. Can you increase the capacity of that bottleneck? So maybe it's providing additional training for that team member or streamlining a process to make it more efficient.
Okay.
And finally, repeat. Bottlenecks can shift and change. So you need to keep an eye on the situation.
Right.
You need to adjust your approach as NISIT. What was a bottleneck yesterday might not be a bottleneck today.
This all makes sense for like a project management context, but what about personal goals?
Oh, yeah, totally.
So let's say my goal is I want to write a book.
Okay.
How do I use all this stuff to like make that happen?
Well, let's start with that external bottleneck. What would be the external bottleneck for writing your book?
Yes, finishing the book and getting it published.
Exactly. Now, what might be some internal bottlenecks that are preventing you from doing that?
Well, finding the time to write consistently is always a challenge.
Okay.
And sometimes I get in my own head and I don't think I'm a good enough writer, you know?
Those are very real bottlenecks.
Yeah.
So, how could you use that TOC cycle to address them? So, let's start with finding the time to write.
Okay.
How can you exploit your existing time?
Well, I could, block out time in my calendar and treat it like a real appointment.
Yes. And then how could you subordinate other activities to support that writing time?
Well, no distractions, right? So like, phone off social media, off email, off just focus.
Love it. And then to elevate that capacity, maybe take a writing class or join a writing group to get some feedback and accountability.
That's a really good idea. Okay, what about the confidence thing?
Okay, so how can you exploit your existing strengths?
Hmm.
So start with the parts of writing that you really enjoy the most.
Right, get that momentum going.
Build that momentum, build that positive energy, and then to subordinate that negative self-talk, really try to focus on getting feedback from trusted sources.
Okay, so surround yourself with like positive people.
Exactly. And then elevate those skills. Practice regularly.
Yeah.
Study the craft of writing. Take workshops. Read books.
It's like you're taking project management and you're applying it to my own brain.
I love it.
That's so
It's
cool.
about reframing those challenges as opportunities.
But things don't always go to plan, though, right?
Right. Nothing ever goes exactly according to plan.
Like bottlenecks shift things happen.
Exactly. And that's where that Schieferschlagordnung comes in.
Our favorite German word.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So always have a plan B. Be ready to adapt. This is where communication and collaboration are so important if everybody understands that big picture
Yeah.
and those current priorities.
Right, be on the same page.
You're going to be so much more agile in responding to those inevitable changes.
Wow, this has been such a great deep dive.
I've had so much fun.
Me too. We've learned about how to identify and address those limitations that hold us back.
In projects in life,
Everywhere.
everywhere.
I
It's
see.
all about working smarter, not harder, and recognizing that those bottlenecks, when we approach them strategically, can actually be catalysts for growth and success.
I love that so much.
So go forth and conquer those bottlenecks, everybody.
Until next time, keep on diving deep.